Hi, and you're very welcome to today's podcast episode. I'm super excited to share with you that I have special guest on, Tricia McHale. And for those of you that listen to my podcast, you know that she is a regular guest. And just to give you a little bit of a background about her, Tricia is a psychotherapist and supervisor working in private practice in Galway since 2006. In 2019, she went into partnership with Mind and Body Works, who operate two psychotherapy and counselling centres in Dublin, and opened a centre in Woodkey with a new centre now opened on Dominic Street in Galway. They have a team of over 50 psychotherapists and psychologists who offer counselling to adults, couples, adolescents and children. They offer a wide range of therapies, including CBT, EMDR and art therapy. They also operate a low-cost counselling service, which is provided by mature trainee therapists in their final degree or master's year of training. They are supervised by accredited and experienced therapists to ensure they work ethically and professionally. I'm super excited to have Tricia on. And just to let you know, I'm going to be asking Tricia, the point of this episode is all about thriving while going through change. And there's three big things I want to talk to Tricia about today, with the view to helping you. One is unhealthy habits. The second one is about navigating the changes that the menopause brings. And the third one is about navigating the identity shifts that we as women experience. So you're very welcome to the show, Tricia.
Thank you so much. I hope you didn't hear my dog barking too much there. I've just managed to get rid of her. Thanks a million, Jessica, as always.
It's lovely to have you on. Can I first off, before we get stuck into the serious stuff, can I ask you why did you get into therapy in the first place?
Great question. I think, if I look at it from a psychological point of view, which of course it is, I'm a middle child of seven, and I guess grew up in like most Irish households, a dysfunctional household, alcoholic parent, and middle of seven children. I kind of adopted a role very early on in my family of mediation and reacting to environment, I guess, in a very internally, in a very kind of stressed out way, a very sensitive and sensitized way. And the only thing that kind of made me feel better was trying to manage that environment by mediating and making sure the people in the environment were okay. And I think that that followed me on through my life in different areas of work that I did. I worked for a long time in different services, in psychiatric services, in services with people with learning disabilities and psychiatric issues. And that, so when I moved to Galway about 25 years ago and basically decided I would go into training. And what the training taught me was there was very little altruistic in me about taking on this kind of training, because really the training, when you train to be a psychotherapist, you realize it is a constant need to heal yourself. And that's why people go into this profession. If your psyche was completely healthy, I don't think it's a profession that you would be looking to get into, because you know, it's not a natural. If you have a healthy psyche, you're not naturally attracted to constantly taking on people's issues and working with them. You know, if you're feeling healthy in yourself, you're not doing it. So I guess what I learned about myself was it was all about healing myself.
Yeah.
And it really, that's the reason I got into it. I was constantly looking to make myself feel better and more healed internally by helping other people and by feeling that I had some control over something in my life by actually working with other people and feeling, oh, now I feel a bit satiated because that person looks like their journey is going well. So it took a long time to realize that. Probably the years of training allowed me to realize that. Doing my own personal therapy allowed me to realize that. And I think it led me into a very good place around my work in terms of the realization, you know, nothing in us is essentially altruistic. It is about healing ourselves. And once we realize that, we're not going into that kind of helper mode of, I'm just here to heal and help. If I remember that I'm actually trying to heal myself, it allows me to move back away from people to allow them their autonomy to find their own way through their own journey, and not be kind of intrusive on where people are at in their stage of lives.
I love that because you can really adopt that when it comes to your family as well. It's great.
Totally. Yeah. Any relationship, you can really adapt that to.
Yeah.
Remembering this is all starting here internally. What am I trying to mind in myself?
Yeah.
And I can react accordingly. Yeah.
Yeah. I have three big questions to ask you. I think you and me both have a similar passion. It's helping women over 40, women over 40 navigate all the changes so that they can live their best lives.
Yeah.
So the first thing I wanted to talk to you about, I read this brilliant quote, you know, the James Clear Atomic Habits book. Mm-hmm. And one of my favorite things in my line of work is to really help women break free from unhealthy habits. And the quote was, one of the most practical ways to eliminate a bad habit is to reduce exposure to the cue that causes it. So one of the most practical ways to eliminate a bad habit is to reduce exposure to the cue that causes it. And I was going, wow, that's so interesting. The cue that causes it. So for women over 40, the cue that causes the bad habit is a massive list.
Absolutely.
Like of menopause, stress, overwhelm, busyness. Like the list is so long. So I suppose my question for you really is, how do we stop these cues from getting in the way so we can break free from unhealthy habits and find healthy habits easier?
You know, what I really feel, Jessica, is, and I have to say it to myself often, as well as other people in work, start taking yourself seriously. And that sounds like a very facile kind of thing to say, but I actually really do believe it. If you were looking at your daughter or your sister or your mother carrying the amount of things that women in their 40s and onwards carry, dealing with the amount of things that they do, particularly I find it talking to parents of adolescents, you know, their daughter would only have to say, I'm feeling a bit low. They're straight on the phone, looking for help, looking for support, looking for, you know, people to help them, help their daughter, primarily help their daughter or help their mother or help their sister. And women, I definitely feel, tend to take themselves less seriously and put themselves down at the bottom of a list. So when you're saying, you know, look for the cue and respond accordingly, to me, that piece of reflection on where am I at in my life? What are the stressors? What are the things that are really affecting me? And how do I take myself seriously in managing them? So I think we can go into this kind of martyr place where we feel, you know, well, this is my lot. I just have to do it. I just have to take everything on. I have to mind the family. I have to do my job. I have to mind my elderly parents. I have to do this. I have to do that. Without ever stopping to reflect and saying, well, how is this affecting me? Because ultimately, once it affects me, it's going to affect all the people around me. So if you start to take yourself seriously in terms of what are my stressors and how can I reach outside myself to look for support and help, then I think that you will become more effective at looking at what's the cue that's leading to this place. So,
yeah.
And I think reflection is the biggest part that we're always missing. We kind of go on the hamster wheel and we keep on going.
Yeah.
And we don't allow ourselves to stop and say, okay, what's the stuff that really stresses me? Rather than, we're all going to have a certain amount of stress in our lives. We need it. It keeps us going. You know, if we didn't have deadlines, if we didn't have things to do, our life may lose all its meaning altogether.
Yeah.
So we need a certain amount of stress. But what are the things that really, that the patterns that I keep repeating that make me go back into this really stressed out, really unregulated place within myself, which affects my children, my partner, my relationships, my workmates, everybody around me. And how can I start reflecting on how I am going to take myself seriously and start to manage those things for myself?
I love that so much. I was just reminded me of like when I started out as a fitness coach, my solution to helping women get fit and healthy was all about what to eat, what to do. Oh my God. So somebody would say to me like that they wanted to lose weight or get fit. And I would be like, you have to do this. You have to do this. You have to do this.
Yeah.
And now, oh my God, like the opposite is happening. I finally understand as a coach that it's all about turning inwards. And like you said, reflecting so that the healthy habits become easy. Where so many women out there, on top of all the really busy stuff that they're doing, think the way to get fit and healthy is just to pile all the stuff on. And then when they can't do it, they think they're failing. Where actually, and that's why I hate the diet culture stuff so much, because it's just trying to get women to do more, almost like purposely distract women from what you've said, which is turning inwards to reflect on, well, why am I so stressed out? What's the effect of this thing on me?
And I like it's the awareness of that. And like we are bombarded daily by diet culture. We're bombarded by body image. We are bombarded by the shoulds of life. You know, you should be doing this. You should have your children doing this. You should, you should, you should. And it's never, the message is never about acceptance. It's always about striving. It's always about continuously moving forward to do better and what you should be doing. And, you know, like we've often said in the past, all that does is lead to self-sabotage, unobtainable standards that we set for ourselves that we're never going to reach. And also that feeling of people outside of me should anticipate what I need, should know what I need, should step in before I get too stressed. You know, do they not know? Do they not understand? So the part of stepping into yourself and taking yourself seriously is saying, what do I deserve for myself? And what can I look for support? You know, there are no messages women need to hear about, I guess, you know, looking after yourself, you know, but it's a very trite thing to say. And again, it's something we can do. You know, I am going to eat healthily. I am going to, I am going to, I am going to. And we have great intentions. And then the weekend will come and we're working with, oh, I just had a really stressful day. So I'll just have a glass of wine. I'll have a bar of chocolate. I will do this. Then I'll feel worse tomorrow. Then I'll berate myself.
Yeah.
And it's just back onto that hamster wheel. Whereas I think if you start to take yourself seriously and start reflecting, where am I at and what do I want to achieve and how can I get the support to do it? So if my husband likes paying the bills and I like putting out the bins, let those be the parts of the things that we separate and pass off in the household. If I can get a child to unload the dishwasher and I can put away the clothes, like we're not here to be kind of these sacrificial lambs for the world. And I think that has been a very difficult thing for women to take on board. You know, the have it all mentality of women can have everything has just led to unrealistic expectations on ourselves. Because you can have everything that you actually want, not what everybody else feels you should be doing. You know, so you can have your job, you can have your family, you can have your parents, but you can also have rest, you can have breaks, you can have the ability to ask people for help and support.
That's absolutely terrific. Thank you so much for sharing that. That's so helpful. I want to move on. And I want to ask you, how do we as women, do you have any recommendations for dealing with a loss of what it feels like to be a woman pre-menopause, pre-perimenopause, and navigating that huge change that women have to change? How do you deal with that? I know that's a huge question, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a difficult thing for us because first of all, when I was 44, I went into perimenopause and I didn't realize I was in it. So, you know, the fact that the knowledge is there now, that people are talking about menopause and perimenopause in a way that 10 years ago, it just wasn't around. And of course, if you try to talk to your group of friends about it, my friends would be saying, don't be ridiculous, Tricia, don't be ridiculous. And I had come to a stage where I felt like, am I losing my mind here? All of the physiological changes that were happening, and not having any idea, this is actually a stage that you're going to go through before you actually even enter into menopause. And this is at a time when your children can still be quite young, your job can still be quite pressurized, things in your life might be affecting you. So trying to navigate that time in my life was really, really, I found particularly difficult. It was the most difficult time, my mid-40s, I definitely felt, because I didn't have knowledge and I didn't have awareness, and I didn't know where to look for support. And I think that the biggest part now that I would encourage people to do is talking to other women and sourcing people who really know what they're talking about in this area, and making decisions then out of that, whether that's bioidentical hormones or HRT or a natural way of managing things or lifestyle changes. But I think knowledge was the key for me. Knowledge that this is a real physiological thing that's happening to my body. And therefore, it's affecting me, my mood, it's affecting me mentally, it's affecting every area of my life. And again, taking it seriously. Just like if something happened to somebody in your family and they were giving you the symptoms of perimenopause or menopause, all of the stuff that's associated, I think there are 55 symptoms, if you look at the symptoms for menopause, and taking yourself seriously and taking it on and doing something about it. Nobody is going to step in and bring us to any place where they're going to take it over for us. Women are so capable, they take on so much, that society just views it as another thing that women have to manage. And it is another thing that women have to manage, but you do have to manage it for yourself.
It's a big step, isn't it, to go from sweeping everything under the rug because you're too busy.
Yes.
Or you don't want to acknowledge it, to actually sitting down and going, okay, what's going on? It's a Absolutely. Big step, isn't it? I've noticed I was doing that for years with stuff. It's only recently that I've been lifting. It's been a pretty tough year because I've lifted up every single rug, I think, around me. Yeah. It was very scary because fear... Well, I'm a very fearful person.
Absolutely.
It's tough to do that. It sounds simple, but it's tough, isn't it?
No, you're absolutely right. Like, fear is our greatest inhibitor. Change is so, so difficult. If it was easy to change, we'd all be doing it every day. We'd be changing every single thing. You'd be leaving the job you don't like. You'd be, you know, leaving relationships. You'd be, you know, going to a foreign country. You'd be doing all of these things. But, you know, we're conditioned for comfort and routine and for things not to change. That's how we're conditioned. That's what keeps us safe. Fear of stepping out is, you know, it's within us all. And, you know, that phrase, feel the fear and do it anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a lot easier said than done. But the I think that it is remembering, you know, years ago when my grandmothers were young, they lived to their 60s and people thought that that was a great age. Now we are living longer and longer and longer. So like your 40s aren't even halfway through your life. And actually they're talking about another age, like women kind of in their 60s and 70s who are well capable, and are looking at that as the kind of next stage from middle age. So I really feel it's about looking and saying, I have a lot of life to go. I have a huge amount of time. And what am I going to do about making things work better for me in my life? And also, you know, it is a very difficult thing to go from a very vital, maybe acknowledged person in the world, acknowledged as a mother, acknowledged as a partner, acknowledged in your workplace, to a time of life where, you know, your children don't really listen to you. They're not really paying any attention to what you're saying. You know, if particularly as they go into their teenage years, they're getting on with their own lives. They're doing their own things. Your partner may have found hobbies. Your family around you may be doing their own thing. Your friends may be busy. And it is that kind of, well, where do I fit in? And how do I make myself valid in the world to myself? Like, we become invisible, particularly women, the older we get. Society views us as invisible. Whereas my real thing about women is trying to encourage them to say, look at the gifts you have to give with your life experience. Look at what you have to share with other people. Look at the freedoms you can have moving forward in your life if you allow yourself to open yourself up to yourself.
How do you do that? I mean, for women in their late 50s and 60s that are navigating the kids leaving and this whole new, the exact way you described it. Where would you start? What do you do? Well, if you're just really stuck and feeling lost and really lonely and upset, what do you do?
Well, my own feeling, like, you know, moving into my 50s and my kids leaving home, going abroad, you know, living abroad and being here, you know, with my husband and my dog, you know, these are the things that you're kind of like, you know, how did this happen? And how did I get to this stage in my life? But preparation, I would say, for women in their 40s is definitely, so a lot of women that are in your groups and have found the support of other women and have found this outlet for themselves. So building up the supports before it comes to a time when actually, you know, you're in that next stage. You know, we know our kids are going, and yet it's the great denier. We put our heads in the sand and we feel, you know, it's not going to happen. Shoring ourselves up, preparing ourselves with our own hobbies, our own interests, things that we like to do, so that we have something for ourselves when our children move on. But I really have to say, like, and you know, studies have shown women do get happier in their 50s as they go into their 50s. Like the 40s, generally navigating the 40s is the most difficult time, but happiness does rise once you enter into your 50s and onwards, because there is a certain amount of freedom. You know, there's a letting go and there's a grieving process when things change. But there is also that growth mindset, which is there's a certain amount of freedom here for me. You know, I am now free to actually start to think about what I want and what I like and the things that are going to benefit me moving forward, but also the ways that I can benefit other people. You know,
that's so exciting. Yeah. And it, for the person that's listening that didn't prepare, and just to talk about fear for a second, like, I used to be really hard on myself that I was always really scared to do things. And then one day I realized, oh, it's okay. It's fear is normal. So then you bring fear with you. And that's been really transformative. Yep. So for people listening in that didn't prepare, like, do you think the best thing for them to do is feel the fear? However, go ahead and sit down, grab a pen and paper and start to figure out what you want to do, what your likes and dislikes are, what hobbies you want to start. Is that the best place to start?
Yeah, I like you know, we've had this discussion before, you and I, about in certain parts of my life, I'm quite capable. And in certain parts of my life, I'm desperately fearful. And I'm quite shy and I don't like change. Okay. So like I'm constantly battling those parts myself. And I think, you know, that feeling of we're either introvert or extrovert. We are. I am a person who can go out and join that group. I am a person who can do this. I'm not a person that can do that. Do you know? So we don't give ourselves credit for the fact that nobody finds anything particularly easy. Just some people will just say, I'm just going to do it. What's the worst that can happen? And I really feel the commonality that we have with each other. Like, I think we are always attributing. And again, that's when you keep looking outside. You're always feeling that somebody else has it sussed. They know what they're doing. They are the kind of person who can do that. They are this kind of person. You're much better than that than me. You know, you can do that. I can't. And again, it's that fear mentality. And of course, we put those blockers in our way when we're fearful, where we keep saying, well, I just can't. So I'm not that kind of person. Actually, we are that kind of person. Getting older and discovering more about yourself, you'll actually find, I actually am that kind of person. I forgot I was that kind of person. I forgot that that's what I like to do because I'm so many years looking after other people. I forgot I used to love drama, or I forgot I used to love singing. I forgot those things about myself because I was putting so much into other people. And yeah, I think it is about, again, back to that piece, ownership of your own life. I need to reflect on me. I need to be able to see what makes me tick. My life will move on and life will go, and we're all going the one way. So what are the things that I can do to make my life the way I want it? And if that is sitting at home and eating chocolate and drinking wine on a Friday night, perfect. It's only when we start berating ourselves for it, you know. So it's kind of like, who am I as a person in the world? You know, am I doing things because other people think I should? Am I not doing things because other people think I shouldn't? What do I want? What do I like? What do I dislike?
Do you think that's really a female thing? I mean, I've only recently, over the past couple of years, started to hear my own voice.
Yeah.
Do you think that's a real female thing, or is it common in women that kind of never hitting a point where you're like, Jesus, I don't think I've ever actually listened to my own inside guiding voice ever?
Well, I think that the guiding voice when we're younger is what we call introjects. It's usually a critical voice from outside of us. So the guiding voice, particularly for young girls, you know, back in the 70s when I was growing up, was what you should and shouldn't be doing, who you were, and criticism, constant criticism. And you take it on as if, you know, so you're not good at this and you're not good at that. And you take things on as definites about yourself, and you take them as truths about yourself, and you never question them. So Trisha was not good at, I used to never be allowed to dry the dishes in my house, thankfully, because I used to keep dropping stuff. So I was just known as really clumsy. So I've taken that through my whole life. I am quite clumsy. I think I'm dyspraxic, but what was known as a clumsy child. And it just led to feelings about myself. You're a bit stupid, Tricia. You can't do that. You don't know your left from your right. You don't have a sense of direction. So taking those critical voices from the outside and never challenging them, challenging them. And I think in a way, added to that, women have societal pressures to be a certain kind of person. You know, to not be selfish. And if you're successful in your job, don't be too assertive. Don't be an angry woman. Don't be non-feminine. Don't be masculine, whatever that means. So men don't have those kind of societal pressures. Men have other pressures, which is be more masculine, be more assertive, be more aggressive. You know, as women, you know, be feminine and gentle, but go out in the workplace and get yourself a good job, and be assertive, but don't be bossy. And women can be very, very critical of each other in terms of that.
Can't they? Yeah. Yeah. Yes. You said that in another episode, and ever since, I can't stop seeing it everywhere. And it really made me think about my own thing with women, changed me.
Yes. And we all have internal unconscious biases. And
we do.
And we really have to challenge them.
I was a bit shocked when you said that actually first. And then, I spent months afterwards just seeing it all over the place from myself and everybody else around me. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we again, that critical piece, which starts in yourself, you know, and if you become less self-critical, you're not looking out and being more as critical of other people. So, you know, if we feel fear about leaving our houses and leaving our children, we may then judge the woman that gets a babysitter and goes out on a Saturday evening. You know, if we feel, well, I'm leaving work at 4 o'clock because I have to pick up my kids, and there's your woman there working till 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
You know, she's not, she's so.
Yeah.
Like, judgment.
Yeah, and mistakes as well. Like, you know, just mistakes. Now I'm just, I really focus on going, God, not a bother, and to genuinely mean it.
Absolutely. You know, like, absolutely. And to not kind of, you know, be constantly looking out to criticize other people and judge them. And you just don't do it as much when you're more solid in yourself, or you're feeling more grounded in yourself, when you just feel, I have enough. You know, I guess my constant thing at the moment is the fear of the other, the way we're looking out and blaming the government and refugees and immigrants, that constant fear that we carry because we're not feeling satiated with where we're at and what we have. Yeah. And if you're coming back into yourself and feeling satiated, then you will start giving yourself the love and respect that you need and taking yourself more seriously. What do I need to make my life better? So it'll just influence this small group of people around me. That's all that's really important to us.
Yeah.
You know, our families, our friends, this small piece of community, and how can I be better to them and myself?
I love that so much. I want to finish on something that also you said, and I couldn't get it out of my head, and it's changed me in so many ways since you said it. And that is that women are afraid. I don't want to paraphrase now, so fix my sentence, but women are afraid of themselves. Like, they're afraid of their own power. Oh, I have shivers. I can almost cry saying that, because you said it and it stuck with me, and I've changed things about, like, I really listened to it, and it's really changed me in a positive way. So could you just share a little bit about that, please?
Amazing. Is that, Jessica? You know, because we're all afraid of our own power. And you know, you have influenced so many women, and you're so inspirational. And it's such a huge thing to take that on board. What if I really stepped into my own power? I suffered desperately from imposter syndrome, and it's only the last couple of years that I'm really trying to challenge that piece of myself. You know, what are you hiding from in yourself? Like, what if you say something on a podcast and it's the most stupid, ridiculous thing to say? What's going to happen? Nothing. Like, why don't you step into where you are in your life? If you've got something to say, say it. If somebody asks you to say something, say it, do it. What's the worst that can happen?
Yeah.
Our fear about stepping into to who we are as people, taking ownership for the fact that I'm here in the world and I'm valid in the world just like everybody else. And like, look at the capabilities that all of the women in your group have, or all of the women that I've had the privilege to meet in therapy, the capabilities that all of these women have. Like, you know, women as a force have so much power for change in the world, for good in the world. And yet we're afraid of it. We're afraid to step in out of the shadows. And, you know, there's a self-judgment in it, and a fear of the judgment coming from the other.
And can you really feel it? Like, I really felt it when I said to myself, after I'd heard you say that, okay, Jessica, so what would it be like if you just said what you thought, didn't silence yourself, didn't censor yourself, and just said how you felt, and you were just yourself? And I said this to myself after you were on, and then I was like, oh my God, no way. And then I was like, oh my God, see? Like, you know?
Yeah,
like it blew my mind. And then I was realizing that I do it with the kids. I do it with my husband, Joe. Yeah. Like, sometimes to prevent us kind of arguing, I'll stop. And you're always kind of like testing the boundaries.
Absolutely.
Like, fuck that.
Absolutely.
Like, oh my God, it's mind blowing.
Yeah, but it is to let yourself be. You're only, you know, the most brilliant thing, and the women I love the most are unique. Because we're all unique. But the women who are the most unique to me are the women who are just themselves. Some days they're in good form. Some days they're in shit form. Some days they're cross. Some days they're happy. They're living in all of themselves. They're living in themselves in the world. And they have let the shackles go. Like one of my closest friends, who's, you know, she's an amazing achiever and did something at night, and now she's doing her PhD. And I just think, and you know, she's three adult children, and she's just, because she just said, why shouldn't I? I'm not doing it for anything. I'm just doing it for myself, for the love of me and the love of learning. And I just think, how amazing to just let the shackles go of what people think you should or shouldn't be doing, or what you thought of yourself academically, or what you thought of yourself in this way. Just give it a go and try. Step into your power and see where it brings you, you know, because, you know, life is going to go on. I think the great, you know, do you remember that poem? I don't know if you read it, like, when I'm an old woman, I will wear purple. But I always remember, like, my mother-in-law reading that to me, and that kind of feeling of, and it's like, well, now, why wait to be an old woman to wear purple? Just wear the purple now, you know, dance in the street, like, make yourself visible in the world, you know, make yourself valid to yourself in the world. Do what you want to do. Step into your own power, into your own sunlight. Mm-hmm. You know, stop standing in the shadow, waiting to be recognized, waiting to be validated. Validate yourself. And I'm not saying any of this is easy in perimenopause, in menopause, but again, it's that setting up the piece. Believe me that life gets better as you get into your 50s. Because you can step into your power if you choose to. And again, there's no shoulds in it. There's no shoulds. But if you choose to, it's there for you. It's there for you. And that's what creates the most fear. Like you say, oh shit, I could actually step into my power and imagine all the stuff that I could do if I did. You know, imagine what I could do. Imagine what we women could do if we stepped into it.
Oh, it's so exciting. So exciting. Yeah. And freeing, totally. As you said, freeing yourself from the shackles. Tricia, thank you so, so much for coming on. Every time you come on, you change my life with your words. And I know you do that for many people listening into the podcast. So before you go, I just want to share, if people want to contact you in Mind and Body Works, and correct me, so they can go to the Mind and Body Works website. That's just mindandbodyworks.com, or they can call 091-725-750. That's 091-725-750, or they can email you at galway@mindandbodyworks.com. That's galway@mindandbodyworks.com if they want to know more about all the therapies that are available in Mind and Body Works. Is that right?
Yeah, that's it. And like I always say to you, I'm the person that answers the phone. So if anybody ever just wants to give me a call to have a chat through anything, any of the services we provide, we've two centres in Dublin as well. For anybody who's listening nationwide, there's online therapy as well. So, you know, I know all the therapists personally, so I can recommend to people. I don't have a belief that one size fits all or one therapy fits everybody. It's really the relationship that you're building with the person. And one of my favourite things to do is to try and recommend the right person for people. I feel that people, you know, deserve to get the kind of person that they're looking for. And it's really the relationship that works in therapy. It's really that therapeutic alliance between you and your therapist that will bring you where you need to go or where you want
to go. What's the most popular forms of therapy? And also, it's great that there's like two centres in Dublin and there's three in Galway.
There's three in Dublin and there's two in Galway. Yeah.
That's amazing. So people have a lot of choice.
Absolutely. There's a lot of choice. The most popular.
What's the most popular therapy?
In Galway, people are very, very into body work. And actually for stress, if anybody ever wants to, you know, working with the polyvagal therapy is really, really good for people who are hugely overstressed. The vagus nerve that goes down both sides of our bodies and can get totally out of sync. Our parasympathetic nervous system, living off your nerves, can get totally out of sync, can cause migraines, tinnitus, all sorts of digestive problems. That's when your body starts to go into collapse, when your mind can cope with everything, like most people, and then your body starts to go into collapse. So polyvagal therapy is really good. Anything that works with the body. So we are Mind and Body Works. So a lot of our therapists work with the body as well as the mind, in terms of bringing down the nervous system to help cope with stress and stuff. And CBT is always a therapy that people look for when GPs are referring in. They definitely refer people in for cognitive behavioral therapy which can make you look at your thoughts and how your thoughts are not really real. They're just thoughts, and how to challenge, I guess, our patterns and our way of thinking.
Okay, that's so interesting. Yeah. And if there was a woman listening in and she just had no idea what she needed, but she knew she wanted some form of therapy, could you help her with that if she contacted you?
Oh, 100%. Like I say, that's my favorite thing to do. This strange thing happens. I'm a very visual person. If somebody rings me looking for a therapist, the therapist's name will pop into my head. Picture
that's
the
so cool.
Yeah. It's worked so far, mostly. Anyway. Yeah.
That's deadly. That's interesting. That's so cool. And then if somebody, just a really quick question, because I was asked this before, if a Dublin facility suited them better, could they still contact you if they wanted to know about?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. And I will find, the Dublin admin staff are in Dublin. Three or four amazing women working in the office in Dublin. And what I generally do is go back to them and chat through therapists who specialize working in this. And they will send me the list and the times or whatever. So if somebody, it's about getting the right fit for somebody. It's about getting the right person. And just finding that person where you feel the person is going to click with them. Yeah.
Great. That's amazing. Thank you so much for coming on the show. And I look
Thank
forward
you
to
so much,
you again.
Jessica, as always. Thanks a million.
Thank you so much. All my love. Bye.
Bye. Bye.